Good morning. Welcome to the Atheist in the Desert podcast. It is January 11th, 2019. Appreciate you listening today. I want to start this morning with a little story. It's the kind of a Taoist story that, you know, if anything you know about that type of a tradition, they really talk about the center way and being centered in life. And you want to call it a religion, whatever. If I'm an atheist, I don't get too crazy about things. But anyway, I've said this story in a past podcast, but I kind of buried it in it. So I just want to start out the podcast today with this story because I just love it. I have to say, too, I found this story in a book. I'm going to real quick just say a book that I really liked. You can find it's out there. It's called The Way of the Small. I don't remember the author's name, but I mean, if you just go to Amazon and look for a book called The Way of the Small, it's a little green book. It has a little leaf on the front. I highly recommend that book. But this story was in there, and that's where I first found it. But anyway, it goes like this. There's a Taoist story of an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. One day his horse ran away. Upon hearing the news, his neighbors came to visit. "Such bad luck," they said sympathetically. "We'll see," the farmer replied. The next morning the horse returned, bringing with it two other wild horses. "How wonderful," the neighbors exclaimed. "Not only did your horse return, but you received two more. What great fortune you have." "We'll see," answered the farmer. The following day his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses, was thrown, and broke his leg. The neighbors again came to offer their sympathy on his misfortune. "Now your son cannot help you with all of your farming," they said. "What terrible luck you have." "We'll see," replied the old farmer. The next week, military officials came to the village to conscript young men into the army. Seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbors congratulated the farmer on how well things had turned out. "We'll see," he said. Now, you listen to that and you might think for a second that maybe the farmer doesn't really give a crap about life. And he's just like, whatever, I don't even care. But that's not what the story is saying. The story is saying that basically the farmer knows that in life there's going to be, you know, so-called good things and so-called bad things. And this, you know, he found the center. You know, he found that. Again, it's not that we don't have feelings on these matters. I mean, obviously, if his son breaks his leg, he's going to, you know, feel bad for his son and do what he can to help him and vice versa. You know, when the horses come and he gets another horse and, yeah, okay, we have two horses now. I'm not saying he doesn't enjoy that. But he also knows that with the so-called good comes the so-called bad and vice versa. You know, again, when you look at life and like how I talk about this ever-changing flow of the universe, I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting last night, and I'll hit one every now and then. I like how, you know, for me, you know, being someone that struggles with that, it's good to go in and listen to people struggling with the same thing, you know, the identification. You know, when you're in a room with a bunch of people that have similar things as you, it's comforting as a human. But again, where I start to get issues is when people come in and they say, you know, I got that job. I knew God was taking care of me. I know a couple people last night, thank God for their sobriety. And that's fine. Again, I'm not here to, you know, trash somebody if that's how they believe. Because like I said in the past, I don't get too worked up over the verbiage of things. And sometimes when I hear somebody say God, this ever-changing flow of the universe, it's there, it's moving. But you got to remember, if you're going to thank God for the good, you got to make sure to thank God for the bad. I mean, that's the tricky part sometimes for people. But I'm more interested in trying to be malleable and get small in life and realize, again, don't, you know, control what you can control. You know, the old farmer, you know, he can only control, you know, how he reacts to the situation, you know. I'm a control freak. You know, I like to be able to be right in the middle of everything. Things need to go a certain way. Case in point, I'm listening, you know, right now, again, back to the softball, if you've heard me, but it's just, it's good for me to recognize this, my daughter's softball team, they lost a tournament last weekend. There was low turnout, so they canceled it. And the coach keeps saying that he's going to add another one in a couple of weeks. And so I've been looking at our schedule the last, you know, few days, and he still hasn't added the tournament. And I keep wanting to, like, email him or text him and say, hey, are we still doing this tournament? You know, because, you know, or maybe even, like, say, because I'm trying to plan a schedule or something, just to kind of put a little thorn in him. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, God, maybe he forgot. Maybe they're not going to do the tournament. Or maybe if he waits too long, we're not going to have enough room. I mean, again, those things might be true, you know. But at the same time, this particular coach, you know, he's been doing this long enough. You know, he's been doing it for 10 plus years, whatever, however long he's been doing it. You know, I don't think he's going to forget. I think he knows what he's doing. And I got to have some trust in other human beings sometimes, and know that I don't have to be in the middle of every situation all the time. That's a fault I have. You know, I'm a control freak. I think if as long as everything acts out accordingly, everything will be fine. You know, my daughter, she's 13, you know, teenager, eighth grader, you know, starting to, you know, the hormones probably starting to go a little bit, and just the ups and the downs. And she's, you know, learning that two of her really good friends are going to leave the school next year. And so, and she's more of an introvert, not a person that gets out. And right away, I want to fix things. You know, I want to be, you know, oh, you know, maybe we should do this or help her do this, or that's so bad. And but on the flip side of the coin, I think about me and some of the things I've gone through, you know, emotionally, some depression, anxiety type things. And such good has come out of those things. I don't want to get in the middle of this. She's going to have to figure it out on her own. I don't need to go and try and fix it. She's got to learn, if she wants to have a few more friends, to branch out. She's got to learn to not be so selective, you know. And she also may go through a period where, hey, maybe for a year she spends a lot of time alone. I definitely went through that. I remember when I was in junior high, I wasn't one of the cool kids hanging out every weekend with friends. I was, a lot of times I was just hanging in the living room with my mom and my sister. You know, I didn't do much. So that story about the old farmer, I just think that it's a reminder, at least for me, that I am not in charge, you know, of the ever-changing flow of the universe. I have to just realize that this thing is going to go and move and change and constantly. You know, I'm gonna win sometimes, I'm gonna lose sometimes, but only win and lose based on my perception. That's where it gets tricky sometimes. Because, you know, I was listening a little bit yesterday to Sean Carroll talk about time. And I would YouTube this, his explanation on space and time. He's got like a 30-minute talk about it. Kind of talks about space and the way time works, or the way we work it. And it's interesting. But basically, again, when you consider the size of this universe and all of the things that are going on, not that I'm insignificant, but I'm just a part of it, just like anybody else, just like anything else, any creature. And getting back to this, what I believe, this consciousness that we have as humans, that I think is physical, that I think in you know, in years times will be explainable, just like eye color, just like, you know, why certain people get heart disease over other people, whatever it is, you know, whatever the affliction is. Because, I mean, if you look at just heart disease for a minute, okay, we're all born with very similar hearts as far as the structure, how they, you know, whatever. Sometimes people are born with abnormalities. I don't know. Sorry, my English language, I'm still working on it. But, you know, but again, then there's some people out there that get more prone to certain diseases, you know, particularly heart disease, you know, the narrowing of arteries. So I think that, you know, and they found that some of that stuff is genetic and hereditary as well. And I think that someday you will be able to explain, you know, the way we're able to explain the genetics of the heart, and, you know, if your parents have it or whatever, that we're going to, you know, obviously some of these things they've already explained are hereditary with the brain, as far as, you know, depression, anxiety, addictions, things like that. But I think we're going to start getting into more things like, okay, well, this is the reason we think we're conscious is because of this part of the brain or whatever. I think that's coming. It has to be. We just haven't gotten there yet. That doesn't mean that it's God or some other supernatural thing. Anyway, that's a different podcast for a different day. But this consciousness and this conscious separation, I'm only separated from the universe consciously. I can't. That's the only possible way. I'm not separated otherwise. I'm a part of it, you know, just like anything else. And that story about the farmer kind of reiterates that for me, that I get up every day, I go do my thing, I go to work, try to be a part of the ever-changing flow of the universe, and the universe tends to take care of me. Not that the universe is looking at me and, oh, I'm going to take care of Chad because he's good, but more along the lines of, you know, if I act like a human being and be a part of what I'm supposed to do in the universe, I'll figure out a way to survive. Just like the birds, just like the ants, just like the hippos, just like the whatever. I have to know what I am and know how to be it and know that I'm just a part of. And sometimes so-called good happens and sometimes so-called bad happens. And I have to be willing to accept it all. That doesn't mean just get up every day and just lay around all day and don't do anything and just say, well, whatever happens, happens. I mean, obviously I got to be a part of, but understand that everything that comes your way is coming one way or the other. And how you react to it is the difference, you know? And these days I try to be more centered, like the farmer. All right. Have a great weekend. Because, I mean, today's Friday, right? So this is the day we've been trying to get to all week. Get to that weekend, party it up. That's why we work hard. Conscious separation. Take care.